Oh, hello there. I hope you're sitting on your throne in your castle right now, or what others refer to as the toilet in your house, as you listen to this podcast about the total home experience, where we discuss how to make every home more easy, effortless, and enjoyable to live in. I'm JP Taxman, founder of Relief Key, and will be the voice in your head for the next 10 minutes to an hour. Let's get after it, shall we?
Welcome to the Total Home Experience.
All right, so I'm here with Sarah Ramsey. Thank you for joining.
Happy to be here, JP.
So excited. We met through the internet, and I was on your podcast last week, Toxic People. Ah, oh, dang it.
Toxic Person Proof. Yes.
Toxic Person Proof. There it is. Toxic Person Proof. Apologize for that. But it was great. So much fun. You're a phenomenal interviewer. Everyone should definitely go check that out. And you wanted to come on this podcast, and I'm more than happy to have you and excited to learn about your home and how you live. So kind of to start it off, where are you currently living and why did you choose to live in that area? So I kind of start like broad, like kind of give me why'd you pick your state, and then maybe go a little bit further into why'd you pick the specific city within the state that you live in, and then maybe further in the neighborhood.
I actually live where I was in the city where I was born. Which is really interesting because I work with people all over the world, literally. So I always say I'm from Tennessee, but I don't necessarily think like I'm from Tennessee, if that makes sense. My husband and I have both had really global positions and perspectives in the world. So it's a really great mix of grandparents being 30 minutes away to be able to help with childcare and all that kind of stuff.
No question there.
Oh, absolutely. But then, you know, every day I talk to people from all over both the U.S. and then in the world, really. So it's really fun. We travel a lot. We have a place in Destin, Florida, and then looking for another place in Florida. So we used to be in Dallas, Texas all the time. So it is kind of funny. Tennessee is our home base, but we are everywhere quite a bit.
Interesting. I actually kind of want to hit on that point for a second, because that's something that I haven't talked about yet on the podcast, which is having two homes. Well, mm-hmm. I've talked about having two homes, but not two homes in like a different state. Mm-hmm. So you said Tennessee and where?
Florida.
Florida. Okay. So Tennessee mm-hmm. and Florida. How do you set that up? So how are you like? What kind of things are you bringing? What do you have kind of set up leaving there? How do you make sure? Do you have like someone that kind of watches that house? What are some things you do to manage two houses?
Yeah. So there's a management company because we rent it sometimes, like a VRBO type situation, or we rent it sometimes when we're not there. But some staples that are really, this is kind of sound kind of funny, but even like spices. You know, if you're wanting to cook and you don't have your favorite spice at home, you know, or something like just these little things, your favorite mug. I'm really big on coffee mugs and stuff. So spices and mugs, a lot of kitchen type stuff. Though during the pandemic, we had we're more conscientious of our toilet paper use. We weren't hoarders by any means, but we definitely
get a bidet. Get a bidet. If there's one thing I recommend in this world, it's getting a bidet. Everyone needs to get on them. I don't know why the U.S. is so against them. They're the best things in the world.
I've used it in Europe. I'm trying to think if I've used one much in the States. I guess I
haven't. $30 bucks on Amazon.
Really?
Best investment of my life.
Huh.
Yeah. And during the pandemic, everyone's freaking out about toilet paper. I'm like, why are people freaking out? I just spray water on my butt. It's the best.
That sounds great. My husband was asking what I wanted for Christmas today, so maybe I want to get a bidet.
Throw it on the list.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we're definitely mainly in Tennessee more. We go to about Florida once a month.
Oh, wow.
But we're not always our other place in Florida. This week mm-hmm. we're going to St. Pete. So I love St. Pete. If anyone's ever been to St. Pete, Florida, I love it. There's literally a bay that you can walk up to and dolphins like come like in real life, like just as close as I am to my computer in the water.
It is
amazing. Yes. I went by myself and then took my husband and I said, oh, if we sit here for a few minutes, dolphins will come up. And he was like, I don't think so, Sarah. You know, and I was like, no, wait, you know, and then there it was. And I said, well, I'm going to sit here and, you know, sit in the sun for a few minutes. You tell me when a dolphin comes up. And he was like, oh my gosh,
not coming.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
Sure enough.
Should have thrown a bet on it, you know.
Really? Oh, I should have done a bet. Yeah. Now he wouldn't take me up on the bet. No. But that's kind of our home experience. I think spices and kitchen supplies. If you're used to cooking, mm-hmm. that is the biggest thing because you don't want to have to buy different spices. And
yeah, every time you go, that's a lot of trekking mm-hmm. stuff across borders. Okay, cool. So going back to where you live now, tell me more about like your neighborhood and why you picked that area specifically to live
in. Lots of children. Mm-hmm. So lots of kids in the area and not a lot of people that grew up here. So it's a really easy place to have a sense of community because we have grandparents around, but most people don't. So if you need a favor or need something, there's automatic bonding within the neighbors because they kind of have to utilize each other, you know, for carpooling and some of those different things, which I almost feel like I'm back in the 1950s. It's just a really lovely way for the kids to grow up.
Man, I love hearing that because I feel like that's so important and so essential to our humanness is just that human neighborhoodly connection in that community. And that's really one of the best places to get it, especially being able to just like go over and needing a cup of sugar or I got to know my neighbors. I live in an apartment, but if I just need like some cat food real quick or someone to like go and do something in my house or when I'm away, they're more than happy to do that. It's always good to have someone to call on like that, but also it's just people coming together. I think it's just really important, and that neighborhoodly aspect I think is dying a little bit in the United States, and
very much so.
Everyone's retreating into their homes.
Mm-hmm. And in the evolution of humanity, I mean, you used to like live in villages, right? So there was this idea that we like had to, you know, work together to survive, and we have lost that. But when I went out of town and my mom was staying with my son at the house, but the neighbor would take him to school and it allowed my mom to take my daughter to school. I mean, that it's not surviving in the same way like you know, another village is going to attack us, but it is surviving. Like my kid has to get to school, right? He goes to a private school. There's no school bus, right? So it's this whole situation where when you live in community, it's just much nicer.
So much nicer. So much better. And I'm part of my long-term vision for my business is to help forge communities and bring people closer together. I know that doesn't seem like it connects with organizing, but I have a much broader long-term vision than just doing home organizing and designing and building products. But so going even further in, so we're in your neighborhood now, how did you decide on the house that you purchased?
Oh, my husband decided all that. He loves like home design shows and watch real estate shows and watches HGTV and all this.
Interesting.
Kind of
interesting. My kind of guy. He's like me, but typically it's absolutely. The woman that loves that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's always him. And so it was kind of funny. I was like, I don't care. Like, you know, there's some things that I kind of would make more of the decisions on. And this was something that he very specifically made the decisions on, which I was fine with, you know, and it left me free to use my brain power for other things. But we have two stories, but kind of office space and like playroom areas upstairs, and then everything else is downstairs. We actually have five, is that true? One, two, three, four bedrooms downstairs. And then technically our bonus room is considered a fifth bedroom, but, but it's lots of downstairs space. So, I like that for the most part, the family's kind of together. It's not always like me. And I'm sure when they're older, I'll have to do this more, but like dragging the kids into the family environment.
Oh, definitely. You know? But yeah, right now everyone's together hanging out.
Yeah.
Doing homework at the kitchen table.
That's right. We did last night. Yes.
Love it. Love it. I'm sure they didn't, but.
Oh, no. I have. So my son loves homework.
Really? What?
Oh, he loves learning.
Lucky duck.
It is easy. You know, he's always been like that. He started reading in a high school level, I think in third grade, like, you know, so he's like doing extra homework last night, like for real. I was just like, oh, it's easy. My daughter's not quite, she's very good to do it. She doesn't love it like him, but she's
like, I'll get it done. I'll get the good grade.
She's very competitive. So she always wants to like do her best. Uh-huh. Right. He just loves learning. He also wants to do his best. He loves learning. And then she's just really competitive. So she can't be the failing grade in the class. That's for sure.
Not a chance. So how do you manage like their toys or their kind of bedrooms and them interacting in the common space? What are some things you do to kind of mitigate, or how is that experience? Is there things that could be improved or that are frustrating in that area?
So what was interesting is in my other house before my husband and I got married, I didn't have a coffee table, right? So I really do value open space for kids in particular, and having as much like playroom area and less stress on me as a parent of, are you going to bump your head into something, friends come over, or are they going to bump their heads into something? And so within that, I also am really particular about trying to buy my kids disposable gifts, like not in a environmentally bad way, but like paper and pencil and crayons and art supplies and that type of thing, rather than plastic that just sits around forever, because it just builds up, you know, and they go to a birthday party and come home with plastic. And then there's something else, they go home with plastic. So one of the things I have done is, Santa's going to bring you stuff. We have to give things away. And
that's good.
That's definitely a strategy that I have employed. And we do try to keep, we have, because of our neighborhood, we have people over a lot. So the house isn't always perfect. Right now, I'm pretty sure there's a lot.
I don't think anyone's is. And I,
yeah.
Well, there's some people that are really able to keep theirs immaculate constantly. But, you know, you live in it. You know, things happen. It gets messy. And it's building the habits. But not everyone can build those habits. I mean, everyone can. But it takes a lot of focused attention and effort to do that. And I believe a lot in just working with the habits you have and doing your best to create systems that work within that to get it better, but not worry too much about like, okay, I can't ever have anything on the counters. If it's not a realistic thing, if like you're going to be throwing stuff on the counters, then like we just got to figure out how to like at least have a place to throw stuff or something.
Yeah, for sure. I have books everywhere, which I consider lovely. Like, I think, when you walk in a house and there's books everywhere, that's amazing. My husband considers it more clutter, right? Yeah, that's a conversation. He's like, why are there books everywhere? And I was like, when there's books everywhere, there's always one you can grab very close to you. He's like, but then there's books everywhere, you know, something like that. Yeah, so we do try to keep the main living room pretty clean and clear from kids' stuff. They know their stuff goes in the playroom upstairs or in their bedrooms. They're 9 and 11, so that's a bit easier. Mm-hmm. Though there's more of an issue with like the shoes and the backpack situation.
Mm.
Right? Like, come in through the garage, take your shoes off before you come in the front door, and then you have the backpacks either sitting there. So that clutters it more. It's a bit off, so it's not too big of a deal, though. The shoe pile, it's a lot of shoes now. Probably shoes that my children don't fit in anymore. I really should go through
them. Yeah, you got to get through them, and then you have less shoes, and then you just get some of those cubbies or something. And
Well, there's cubbies there.
Okay, I assume.
I'm bad to not put my shoes up. Yeah, you can grab them.
I don't know how I feel about cubbies, honestly, because that's what I see a lot too. Is they don't always get used. And I think part of it's because when people come in from the garage, when they get back, they just want to take the shoes off. They don't want to pick them up and put them in something. And I'm all about least resistance. So I'm still working on finding out the correct solution to that specific issue. Because you just need to be able to throw them off and then they just go on something and then they get stored away. That extra little bit is just going to be, especially because dealing with each person's habits in a home is difficult. You know, with one person, I can figure that out and I can help them work through that. But when you have four or five people that live in this house and they each have a different mode of doing something, then it's like, we just have to make the system as easy and intuitive as possible. So there's no thought about it. It's just they're already throwing their shoes off. It's just throw them off here and then they'll be put away somehow. But that's...
Well, 50% of the time, my hands are full.
Yeah.
Like I come in and I have... So to like take my shoes off and then put them in something, that's a whole other... Or my kids, you know, their backpack's full. So when you can like use your other foot to take off that...
Exactly.
A different game. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it's those scenarios that are the true 80% of the time you're coming in and out is you have something in your hands and you're just trying to go and
yep.
or you need to run in and do something. Trying to figure those out. And I have a idea of a product design on how to do it, but even just turning, I don't know. What's an item under $100 that you bought for your home that brings you a tremendous amount of joy?
It's such a thing. It's actually my husband's thing, but I'm going to have to say it because he's talked about it so much. And I always make a joke, like if me and you and this item fell off a cliff, would you know, which one would you save? And it's a garlic crusher. So whenever you crush garlic and it's like the perfect pieces and perfect amount, you don't have to chop garlic, which makes your hands smelly and all that kind of stuff. So that's something that definitely has brought him joy. Something that has my Roomba is not under $100, but golly,
I'm not too like stickler on the $100 point.
Yeah,
it just helps frame the question. But if it's the Roomba, I can get that. I'm all about automation and those,
sure.
Especially I want the mopping one really bad. I don't too much mind sweeping or vacuuming, but mopping I despise.
Yeah, they need a Roomba to clean the toilets.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that isn't too difficult, is it? I don't know, but that would be spectacular. Mm-hmm. I mean, really what we need is just, you know, like the Tesla bot. We just need those to exist finally. And then it just cleans your whole house. And that's...
Well, I did a podcast with someone recently who wrote a book on technology and generations. And he said that people after 2010... are going to be the robot generation. And he was talking about robots that can eat cancer and robots that will probably eat fat, you know, robots that, you know, for all these crazy things. And I think the Jetsons society is getting closer than we think.
Oh, it's here. I mean, we're in the beginning. I think that's the most interesting thing about living right now is we're seeing that transition. And we're living through the transition. We're not just seeing like the end result like you see in movies a lot. We're living through that switch into the future, which is a fascinating thing to get to see, you know, seeing the VR technology take off and how that's progressed and the different programs that have come and gone and seeing, again, the robots and how they get to evolve and come and how it really kind of one of the big starters was the Roomba. Like that was one of the first like products that actually made into the home, first robot products that actually made it into the home as like a functional, usable product. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's so interesting. And I love it. I mean, I've been waiting for this stuff forever. Like as a kid, I was like, I used to watch, what was that show called? It was the one with the smart home. I think it was called Smart Home. But the home like ends up attacking him basically and like trapping him in the house. Yeah. Like, it wasn't the best home, but I was like, I want all those things. Like, I want all those features. I was like, that is so cool. You can talk to it and then it like turns on the lights. And like, I literally just did that today. Uh-huh. And all these things exist now. And they actually make the experience just so much better, especially like for me, who's extremely lazy. And it's part of why I do what I do, because I help other people be lazy, mm-hmm. but efficient and make things work. But like getting to lay in bed and be like, not have to get up to turn on the AC or turn it off, or again with the lights, that's just huge to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Our neighbors whole smart. Oh, I have another answer. So I was going to say my neighbors have a whole smart home. So we have that conversation because they're always like telling us what we need to do to our house. But I love the cameras. You're talking about being lazy. So I have cameras like it's kind of towards my kitchen, and not in a weird way. They're not in anybody's bedrooms or anything like that. But like, if I am gone and I need to like tell my kids something, or when I was out of town and my mom was watching my kids, like I could still have breakfast with my kids. Like I could like turn it on and I could say, hey, do you have your homework done? Do you have this stuff? So even though I was out of town, I felt very much, my daughter is a one-way camera, so she couldn't see me, but she like pulled her chair over and had her Cheerios right in front of the camera. It was like eating with me. And so even though I was out of town for a couple of days, I didn't feel like there was any lost connection. I still could make sure they were dressed for school. They were up for school. They were this, you know, and not that my mom couldn't handle it. It's just, it's a tough routine to take over when there's a lot of moving pieces and it's just, hey, do you have your stuff for after school? Do you have, you know, this
and
type
you know
of stuff?
It and you're into it and you can be there for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, it was so cute. Her pulling her like Cheerios over to sit in front of the camera, and also just like the safety component, you know, knowing, okay, my house isn't on fire, okay, knowing, you know, some of those things,
mom brain.
Right. Yeah, but that has been incredibly safe. And if I need to run to the grocery store or something, and being able to pop on, my kids don't have phones yet, I've really held that off as long as I could. But just to be able to pop on and say, hey, do you want me to pick you up? Do we need milk? Do we need, you know, some of these things, main area of the home, so that it's easy to connect with people because someone can always hear you.
That's interesting. So like the camera has a microphone on it that you can just go on and that, what brand, which one is it?
I think it is, I can tell you. It's the Nest, Google Nest.
Oh, okay, it's the Nest. Yeah,
yeah.
That's so, an interesting feature. I need to take that into consideration. I didn't know you could just pop on like that.
Well, yeah, you can kind of see.
Yeah.
But here is the main area, and it's like really almost like there's like a picture frame blocking it. It's really not like we're like spying on people, but you can see the island line where my kids would be eating, and right there if they were watching TV. And then obviously my house isn't on fire, or, you know, I told you we were out of town a lot. So then we can kind of like,
yeah, just check in like, okay.
In the house. Yeah.
Oh, we left the light on. Let me turn that light off.
Absolutely. It's been fabulous. I love, and like I said, the view is almost completely blocked by a picture frame. It's, you know, but just having that ability to kind of speak in there, or it'll record it. So if someone did break into my house, I would literally have a recording of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the main reason people get them, I think, is the security factor and being able to grab that. Cool.
But the connection factor with the kids.
That's an interesting one I haven't thought about.
In an organization with the kids. So even if I'm out with one child and I can like check in on the other, okay, they are doing their homework. And you know, it's just, or just connect, especially for people who are trying to delay the getting a phone, because we don't have house phones anymore, right? So how else am I supposed to, like, I can get hold of my son on his iPad, but only if he's on the iPad, you know? So it's just one more kind of layer of ways to connect.
But also that, like, the thing I really like about it is that instant communication. You don't have to call. You can get on your phone, see that they're there, and then ask them what you need while you're out, mm-hmm. instead of being like having to hopefully have them pick up or answer. Back. Yeah.
Answer your text. Yeah. It's literally like if I'm in the house, like calling from another room.
Yeah. That's really fascinating to me.
I love it. I love it.
Okay.
I love being able to, because it's also in that main area of the home. So it's like I'm there in my main area of the home.
Yeah. While you're out.
Even when I'm in a different state.
Yeah.
And I'm like kind of connected to the breakfast routine and that kind of stuff.
Okay. One thing I really want and want to help my client, want to set up for my clients, which I don't figure it out. Or I don't even know if there's a camera. I know that some refrigerators already have it. And I want one of the refrigerators that have the camera inside, mm-hmm. so you can see what's in your refrigerator. And then, you know, like if you're out, you're like, what do I need? Do I have enough mm-hmm. of that? Then you can just pull it up and check and be like, okay, that. And I think like putting the cameras there and then in the pantry are two key places that most people aren't putting them, but could be really useful in those times where you're like, I don't know what I have. Mm-hmm. And I need to know if I need to get more of that, because I don't want to make two trips. Or you might just like, it's always good to do a double check and be like, oh yeah, I forgot I did need that. Cause that's me every time. And then I come home and I'm like, oh God damn it. I gotta go out and now I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And sometimes it's like the reason I went there, I still forgot.
Yeah. Well, the maddest I've ever been at my husband, something silly. I had been to the grocery store, gotten everything for dinner. He was going to make dinner. He was like, he goes, oh, we don't have any regular spaghetti noodles. We have angel hair, you know, a little bit thinner, thin spaghetti noodles over this. And he goes, well, I mean, we have to have the regular spaghetti noodles. And I was like, for real? We have gluten-free noodles. We have veggie noodles. We have super green noodles. We have angel hair noodles. We have black bean rotini. We have like so many noodle options. He's like, no, we really need the regular spaghetti noodles. He's a real foodie. And as you can tell from the garlic press, and I was about to kill him that I had like organized my whole day in a way that dinner time would not be chaotic. And then
still
I
had to run.
Oh, I was so mad. I was so mad. But I kept thinking, he does so many nice things for you. He would do this for you. You know,
that's good of you, though, to be able to bring those thoughts in.
Yeah, and then I was texting the neighbors, like, does anyone have regular spaghetti noodles?
Bingo, there you go. Then you don't have to go as far. Someone's got to have them.
They had, like, I have, like, hearts of palm. I have zucchini squash. I mean, I have so many choices of noodles.
No one's got regular ones.
No one's got regular ones. So now every time I go to the grocery store, I buy a pack of those noodles.
You learned your lesson.
Oh, but I was just like, no, I'm never doing that again. If he's that particular, because most of the time he's not that particular about things, but he doesn't really like pasta that much. He eats it because we do. We like it. And so was like that he was going to be particular about that.
Yeah, if he's eating pasta, though, he's eating regular noodle pasta. He's not doing any fancy bow tie stuff.
No.
All right.
No.
All right.
That's good. The pantry camera would have been useful in that situation.
Indeed. So what's something that's different from the norm that you do that has added to your home experience and made it 10x better?
Definitely the camera piece.
Yeah, I assume that would be already interesting. If you don't have another one, it's not a big deal. I just ask the question sometimes to see if there's maybe another one that gets pulled out of your head or not.
Yeah. I really do, you know, kind of what you and I talked about earlier when you were on my podcast. I believe in the 10-minute thing. I believe in the 5-minute thing. So when I'm in between podcasts, or I'm in between training, or I'm in between calls, like taking that 10 minutes to get something done and marked off my list, or, you know, I unload the dishwasher a lot while the kids are eating breakfast in the morning, you know, and it's like, just, okay, 10 minutes, I want it done. In the past, I really cleaned my house. Like, my parents used to help take my kids to school before I got married. And it was amazing because I would do all the crazy kid stuff that morning. My dad would take them to school. And then that next 30 minutes, I spent putting the house back together. Like, so every time I walked back in from work, I walked into a clean house. And that was amazing.
Yeah, because that's what you want too on your, after a long day, you don't want to come home and be like, oh, you can step on a toy and just makes you more aggravated. You can just come in and be like, okay, everything's good. It's in its place. Yes. I can relax. And then.
Well, and it improves the harmony of the home because I'm not yelling at the kid that left the toy out. Right. And so that experience was, I don't do now. My husband and I both work from home, so we don't have that like come home from work experience. But when I did, that was one of the most useful, and I'm sure I could have spent more time getting ready or taken some time to sit there with a cup of coffee, and there's value to those things too. But taking that 15, 20, 30 minutes and having the I'll walk home to a clean house experience was magic. I mean, it felt like magic every time. I felt like I had my own little fairy magic cleaner when it was just me, but it was the difference in doing it in that time period rather than doing it when I come home from work. Is all the difference in the world.
Yeah, that those, again, it's those small little experiences that have such a profound impact on your well-being in your life, I think. But going to the flip side of that, what area of your home is the most disorganized, and what has kind of led to it arriving in that state, do you think?
Well, I told you before we hit record that I was a finalist in the Mrs. Tennessee pageant. So I did not grow up doing pageants. If you had said I was ever going to be in a pageant, I probably would have laughed at you, but COVID hit. I needed like some jolt of like something interesting in my life that wasn't the Tiger King or whatever that show was, you know? So I really like needed like a happy place or a goal to work toward that was just kind of distracting from COVID. And so I was in my first pageant, and they gave me, so to prep for pageant, there's a ton of pageant prep. And so in the floor, I had like all my pageant stuff, like all the things I'd ordered specifically so that I wouldn't get lost. There's this tub, but the tub is still there with the pageant stuff. And typically it also has like, oh, I need to hang up that shirt. Like I just wore that jacket so I don't have to wash it, but I need it. So it's in that tub. And so then when I'm chatting with my husband or something in the bathroom, I'm usually like hanging up clothes or something from the closet. So that's from my closet floor is not good. It is not good.
Need some work.
It needs some work, yes. I need to get rid of that pageant tub. I mean, it's probably still got like earrings in boxes in that underneath the clothes that I've need to put up. So it's a mess for sure.
That's cool that you're in a pageant though. Like that's a unique.
Yeah, I wanted to become a speaker. Uh-huh. Yeah, I wanted to become a speaker for the. So I was a finalist, and yeah, it was a great experience. I got to do something that was actually scary for me because public speaking and stuff isn't so, but like an evening gown and walking slowly and not tripping and all that kind of stuff was not in my wheelhouse.
Interesting. Not in my wheelhouse. You're kind of Miss Congeniality over here.
100%. My interview was like all the spunky stuff I was a go-to, but then like the slow elegant that piece I was just like boring, you know, but it is a skill, right? And there were some women who just dripped of elegance and they were just gracious and slow, just very different personalities.
Those are probably the groomed ones though, right? From like childhood.
Yes, absolutely. No, yeah. The person who won had been doing it since she was like 7 or 8 years old, and which is fine. I didn't want to win. Like
you just did it to do it. And I mean, yeah, what you did is pretty amazing.
Yeah. I was an ambassador and I wanted to kind of be connected to the business side of it and that piece, which was awesome. So that part was very fun and is very fun.
Is there anything else you want to add before, you know, I let you kind of tout anything you want to tout?
No, I thought that was really good. Those are good questions. I mean, getting to talk about the camera and those type of things. No, it was good.
Awesome.
Good.
Okay, cool. So yeah, go ahead. Shout out website, social media links, book, podcast, all of it. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Awesome. Well, JP, thank you so much for having me. Again, I am Sarah K. Ramsey. I'm a professional problem solver and toxic relationship specialist who helps people become toxic person proof. So if you have, if your house is difficult and you're needing help with organization, you obviously need to call JP. And if your mind and life and relationships seem disorganized, then I'm the girl you call. So you can check out my website, Sarah with an H, S-A-R-A-H-K Ramsey, R-A-M-S-E-Y.com. And you're welcome to join my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship.
Love it. Love it. Am I allowed to join the group? Is it women only?
It is women only, sorry.
Okay.
But I
can't wear a wig?
You can wear a wig. Okay. Oh, let me also, I actually have it, my assistant is like super like cracked down. I'm like letting people in the group. We have such like a great group. And my book, Becoming Toxic Person Proof. So definitely check out that as well.
I like it. I like the branding. It makes sense. It's something a lot of people deal with. And everyone should go check all those things out. I liked your website a lot. I would join the group, but I can't. But every other woman out there definitely should. And yeah, thanks for coming on. It was fun.
Thanks, Katie.